Naturecast. Hello, and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show, featuring Jason Zook. In uncertain times, we must change our focus and priorities. This show will highlight social justice issues with the goal of expanding minds and increasing unity, love, and mutual respect for ourselves and our planet. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. Our show aspires to promote social spirituality, which simply means that by coming together, we can solve any of our problems, including the goal of bringing an end to all forms of hate, discrimination, bias, or oppression. We must protect our environment, reform our criminal justice system, and protect every citizen from police brutality. When we come together, it becomes possible to bridge the gaps that plague our society and divide us from within. We the people means everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show. This is Jason Zook. This is a very special series that we're doing right now on Ukraine, Stand With Ukraine. I've decided to dedicate 100 episodes to helping showcase Ukraine in its fight against Russian aggression. I'm just honored today to have a very special guest, Evangelina Ashtova. Our guest is originally from the Crimean Peninsula of Ukraine, which was brutally annexed by Putin's Russia in 2014. Our guest is 14 years old, and she has quite a history of and story of survival and resiliency of the human spirit to share with us today. Our guest is very creative, and she expresses her creative talents as a singer and a dancer. She can play the violin, drums, piano, and the clarinet. She's been recognized for her artistic and creative abilities by winning a huge number of vocal competitions, including a TV show in Ukraine and the All Crimea Song Festival. In 2022, Evangelina had to escape Crimea with her family when the Russian regime, the war, and everything else happened, as we all know, in 2022. She currently lives in the United States. It's a great pleasure to welcome Evangelina to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
And we have Dr. Sergei Borisov as well returning. Thank you for coming on, Sergei. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Evangelina, I just want to thank you for coming on today. I personally support artists. I think it's so powerful when we have our creative ability where we can express ourselves. I know where you came from has had to have been very challenging for you. I wanted to ask you as one of our first questions for this interview today, what was your life like in Crimea before Russia took it over?
It was pretty chill, but I was four at the time, so
oh, yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I remember the thing that, surprisingly, people, they were more honest and kind. I don't know why. They just changed after. But everyone was kind, and it was, I don't really remember it, though, but it was kind. I would describe it as kind and sweet.
What part of Crimea were you near?
I lived in Sevastopol, which is, some people call it the most popular or the most powerful city of Crimea, which it is because it has a lot of places for military forces and everything. So it is a powerful and a big city with a lot of people.
Can you share with me, for you personally, living in Crimea, you left in 2022 and Russia took it over in 2014. So I know you were really young, but I'm talking about in general. If you could share just from being there when the takeover happened up until when you left, what's your recollection of living there during that time frame?
It caused a lot of mental disturbance for everyone, for even for kids like I was. It was nervous. Everyone was freaking out and everything was happening so fast and nobody could figure out what really was happening. But we weren't really engaged in it because we were child. We weren't really involved and informed on it. Just everyone was nervous. Everything was like disturbing and frustrating.
I was trying to put myself in this mindset of like living here in Florida, waking up one day and being told it's not Florida anymore. It's another place. And I'm no longer American. I'm now something else. Is that kind of the pressure that was felt living in that environment for those 8 years you were there? Like your identity to its core gets challenged because of this takeover?
Yes, because in schools, I started going to school in 2016, and we were taught everything Russian, Russian culture, Russian language. There was no option to learn Ukrainian as a school language. So we were just forced into it, and we were forced to say, like, where are you from? I'm from Russia. You couldn't say you're from Ukraine because, like, you're from Russia. We were all kind of forced to love this culture, to love the language and everything, and there was no way for you to get out of this because that's where you are, and you cannot escape it, because the only way to escape it is just go to another place, but sometimes it's not an option for someone.
As a child growing up during that time frame, and I know you're very creative, and I want to talk about your creative abilities because that fascinates me personally. How were you able to express yourself when you had these competitions I talked about during the intro for you? Like, how was it for you competing and expressing your talents and your gifts in this environment?
It was just a competition, but the thing that really was off, the fact that I couldn't sing Ukrainian songs or I couldn't dance with Ukrainian songs because it's Ukrainian, like you're in Russia, it's Ukrainian. And one time, it was before 2022, I think it was 2019 or 20, but I was singing Ukrainian song, Nebo by Anastasia Petrik, and I was just singing it, and one of the judges, she came up to me and she said, well, yeah, the song is beautiful, but we cannot let you in the next round in a final because it's in Ukrainian, you know? And that's when I realized that something was off. Something was not as it's supposed to be. In that moment, I knew that I'm not going to go this way.
And from your vantage point, do you speak Russian too?
Yes.
So you have three languages that I could tell: English, Russian, Ukrainian?
Yes, but mostly when someone asks what is my native language, I usually say Russian because in Crimea, before the Crimea was taken over by Russia, everyone spoke Russian. So like my mom, she lived in the same city for like her whole life, and she spoke Russian as her native language. And everyone, it's officially now in Crimea, there's three languages, but there's only one that you're allowed to speak, which is weird because
how does that work, being allowed to speak a language? Like that just sounds foreign to me.
Sadly, it is. It's not officially illegal, but you can actually go to jail or just get charges against you for that. As there's three national languages in Crimea right now, which is Russian, Ukrainian, and Crimean Tatar language, which is the old language, not the old language, but just a form of Tatar language. But you're actually allowed to speak Russian only.
They're really trying to change how you think and how you're going about your day. And it's very oppressive, it sounds like. Is that what you felt like at the time before you left in 2022?
Well, yeah, it's how we felt. Actually, in schools, even since like 2019 or 2018, they started propagating war as a good thing, which is not a good thing. Well, before that, everyone was saying that, no, we don't want war, like, it's over, we're the society is different now. But then they started talking about war from a good side. Like, well, this is good about war and this is good, which is not. And that's why in 2020, my mom just grabbed the documents from my school and I started homeschooling. So I was not really in school since 2020, but I just remember in 2018, it's been a thing that they're propagating a war as a thing.
Can you just give us some examples? Like, you still was like a first grade student in a school. What language, what circumstances? Like teacher would walk in the class and start to discuss material and she say, well, guys, there is a war. How would that look like? Because it's really would be useful to understand that.
In 2019, they made another class, which was called Native Language. Two classes, Native Language and Native Literature, which is like you had your language as a class and literature. I don't know how to pronounce
it. Got it.
And also you had your native language, which is for everyone in my class was Russian, and native, like culture thing, just the cultural class. And in this classes, first of all, they were always saying that Russia never started a war. They were never involved in it. They were never like a aggressor. They were just defending themselves, which is not true. So I studied in school, which has like a military education. It wasn't really a thing if you didn't want it to, but now it is a required thing. So, and they were started like propaganding military and army and everything as a good thing. Yeah, you join the military, we need more fighters. And they started the thing, wars sometimes is not a bad thing, because if we didn't have wars, some parts of Russia wouldn't be Russia. That wasn't a good thing to say to a third grader.
So it sounds like they start this stuff early, indoctrinating you guys with this whole educational thing and this assault on language and culture. It sounds very much, as you said, propaganda and trying to really shape minds and hearts of the citizenry there. When you didn't want to have your heart and mind shaped, you just want to perform and have fun and enjoy your life. Did you ever feel at any point before you left, your life could change without having to leave? Did you and your family knew you had to leave and get out of there to leave Crimea? And
well, the first time I understood that I need to leave, and I just couldn't be there for any longer than we were there. It was supposed to be on March 24th, but 2 weeks before that, someone contacted my mom and said, hi, like, does Evangelina want to sing in a hospital for a war fighter? Like, it's going to be on TV and everything for obviously Russian soldiers. And we were like, no, thank you. We don't, because even if I wanted to, I would not want it to be on TV and everything, because it's not a type of thing that I usually do. And then somehow this information got into like a group of everyone who knew me, who knows me, and everyone started to going against me. And at this moment, I understood that I couldn't be here for any longer. And as fast as we could, as early as we could, we left.
What was that like, the actual leaving part? Like leaving behind where you lived and you knew for so long?
Well, yeah, I had to leave everything in there, actually. Now, looking back, I left everything that I could and I couldn't, because I had to leave my dog there. Even though I took my cat, I couldn't bring my dog with me because of some documents and stuff, because we had to make them, and we had to wait like 80 days for those documents to get ready, and we didn't have that much time. I left everything. I left everyone and everything that I had there. I left it there. We came here with maybe like three suitcases, and one of them was a suitcase with clothes, like, and stuff. The second was my costumes, my dresses, my everything. And the third one was my sister's, because she is a sailor. So she had some gears and some equipment.
What went through your mind that day when you actually left?
Right before we left, I met some friends of mine. So I kind of said bye, and somewhat like I knew in the back of my heart, I knew that I'm probably not coming back any soon, but maybe not even anytime at all. Something in my heart was saying that maybe just don't say like good, like just don't say goodbye like it's goodbye. Just say like see you later. But I said my goodbyes and I left, and It took a long time because it was almost 3 days of nonstop traveling. So first of all, we got to a Crimean bridge, which connects Crimea and Russia.
That the Kerch Bridge?
Catch.
Kept?
Oh, Kerch. Yes. It's just the name of it is
Okay.
Crimean Bridge. And this bridge was bombed the same day, but like 5 a.m. And we were there at 4 p.m. So it was like 11 hours passed. But they actually let us on it. And I'm not telling you how. We were like a fourth car to get through it, like on it.
Wow.
It was after it was bombed. So they just placed, I think, less than an inch wide plate of concrete of it.
From the bridge, and they just
Yeah,
kind of.
it was like the same size as like tires on my car. So we
Wow.
just, oh, it was actually stress. It took away a lot of nerves of mine. As a 13-year-old child, I was at the time. It was 3 days after my birthday. And then we were in Sochi, and then we flew to Turkey, and then we flew to United States. At the moment when I was flying to United States, just the realization hit that there's no way back, at least like in a year or maybe two. I just let it go. I wasn't trying to hold on to it. So I just realized that I'm not going back.
What's it like for you now living here in America? Like, how's it this experience been for you after leaving Ukraine?
It was good because it was surprisingly, it was easy to start because right when I came to the United States the next month, like I came to New Jersey and then I moved to Florida. Like a week after I came to Florida and we like rented an apartment and everything, I went to school and everyone was supportive of me. Everyone was majority of people, they are kind, they're supportive, they are trying to understand what I went through and why it happened. And teachers were helping me because my English was way worse than it is right now. So
I feel like you're fluent from how you
kind
express
of
yourself. Beautiful. So, congratulations.
I read a lot. Teachers were trying to help me like explain. They even allowed me to use my phone for translation because there was a lot of text. Like I had to read books and I couldn't. They were allowing me to use my phone so I could like take a picture and like translate so I can understand the assignment. It really helped because without it, I think I would have just drowned in the things that I'm going through. I just came to a new country. Everyone speaks another language. I don't know where to go. I don't know where's anything, and I'm just freaking out. I'm scared. I want to go back home. I just want to cry, but people were actually helping me.
That's
And
great to hear. I mean, I'm glad that you were able to have some people helping you. And I know it's going to take you a while. It always takes us a while to transition from one place to the next, especially under your circumstances. It sounds like you've been doing a phenomenal job adjusting. I would like to talk about your artistic creative side. From your vantage point, how have you fallen back on your creative talents as a singer and performer to help you express yourself through these trying times that you've been through?
well, I was a singer. I was a street performer in Ukraine, like in Ukraine for 2 years. Since 2020, we bought a speaker for home to use for rehearsals and everything. And one day we just decided, why don't we go on a like a bay and just try to sing? Like, why not? And it worked out, and I did it for 2 years. In 2022, I couldn't because they passed a law about silence that you couldn't make any loud noises, such as singing or playing music, since from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., which is like the work time, you
That's
know.
horrible. I mean, you can't play in the middle of the night.
I mean, yeah, we actually tried, but we couldn't. But and right when I came to the United States, I just stopped everything for almost 4 months, I think. But then we tried to do something because I needed to sing, because I needed to go back in places, because I started to forgetting stuff like songs that I did and everything. But we bought a speaker and I started singing. I started learning new songs. I found a teacher that would, like the coach, that started teaching me new techniques and just getting me back to places, refreshing all the information that I already had, because I graduated musical school. I went there for 4 years.
Congratulations.
I just started, and then I kind of connected with the church, which helped a lot in going back to singing. I found partners that I'm singing with right now. And now I'm a straight performing. I'm back.
Go ahead, Sergio.
I do want to make a comment here. I think even Elena has a rare talent. She's a special performer, in my opinion, because there are, you know, people who can sing, of course, and who has good talent, and they own their voice and have good, you know, repertoire and everything. But it's not always that, you know, it's rare when a person, when it performs, you feel that the person means it. Like, it stems from heart, and a person really knows that the depth of that emotion or thought. And even though Evangelina was only 14 years old, people who listen to you, they always comment on this, like, wow, she sings as if she means it. And this is, you know, this is a really a different level of talent, in my opinion. I really wish Evangelina to go far in her career.
I echo everything you just said in support of what you're saying, Sergi. I'd like to ask, would you like to share your voice at all on our show? I have had people in the past do that. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot asking you that. If you'd wanted to sing something or share with our audience something that you feel passionate about.
I can sing right now, but I'm not sure about the connection, if it's going to sound good.
We'll do the disclaimer. We'll say we're doing this through Zoom, and it's not like you're set up with a microphone and professionally, you know, with the right equipment. Oh, okay. You got a microphone. I'd love to have you share your gifts with our audience. I think music unites us. Yeah. And it's just expression of the soul, spirit.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say about when Sergei said that people say that I sing like from a heart. I kind of was thinking about it lately, because why? At such a young age, as I was like 8, I was singing songs that were really, really serious, and I was able to express all the emotions that the author of the song meant. And I understood that all my life, I was that child, you know? Everyone was saying like, yeah, look, why are you so childish? Look at Evangelina. She's so serious about it. I didn't look like I was serious. I was a child too. I was all over the place, actually. But sometimes when I started talking about something, especially something serious, with someone who was like 10 times older than me, I was like, yeah, well, actually, I think the finances is actually a really hard topic to talk about, but I can't because I know a lot about it. I was that child. I think I can say that I kind of grew up earlier than everyone else mentally, but sometimes still I'm a big child.
I will say this, just because on our Zoom call, I have to say for the audience, there was a point I really appreciated your playful nature with your hair. You were spinning it around as we were talking, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, so I was like, I am a child, and sometimes I act like a real child, but when I start singing, I'm able to control everything there, all my emotions, everything, and I'm just concentrating it to one spot that this song is.
What song would you like to share with us today?
Well, it's not going to be a serious song. It's a song about a little yellow basket that the girl lost, and she's trying to find it, and she thinks that someone stole it.
Is it an American song you think it's going to be, or it's going to be a Ukrainian song?
It is English song, American, I think.
English song?
I don't know the song, though. I don't know. I found the song somewhere, somewise, when, and I just sing it because I liked it. I will learn the song. I will learn the lyrics and everything.
Oh, my God. Let's see, it's getting so scared. I'm brown in yellow basket. I sent a letter to my mommy. On the way, I dropped it. I dropped it. Yes, on the way, I dropped it. Our little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was tracking on down the avenue. Not a single thing could do. She was banging all around. When she's fighting on the ground, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. And see, scared, I lost my yellow basket. And if that girly don't return it, I don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be.
I have to give you applause for that. That was amazing. You need to do one of these voice competitions here in the United States. I could see you going pretty far with that.
I actually tried. I tried America's Got Talent and The Voice, but I just didn't know what to do, and I accidentally skipped the audition.
Well, I would highly recommend anyone listen to this episode. If they're affiliated with anyone like that, they should be contacting you, because that's a lot of talent you just draw upon.
I couldn't read English at the time, and I accidentally missed audition, and then I was like, wait, when is the audition? Like a month later. And then I checked, and like I saw the like notification. I was like, wait, did I miss it?
Well, next year. There's always next year,
there's
right?
There's always next time. There's a lot of next times. I've not seen such talent like that in front of me on the show in a short notice like that. And I appreciate you sharing your gifts with us today. That's amazing.
I just have a lot of things going on because I'm a eighth grader.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And I just had to get a project done, and I have the presentation of a project tomorrow, and I also have the performance at the university, and I just have to go to school.
You know what I look forward to?
I don't have time for.
I look forward to your future success as an artist, and then saying, well, at one point you were on my podcast way back when.
Yeah. Well, actually, my career path right now is criminal justice, which is, I think I'm going to be a lawyer.
Okay. I can give you some guidance there. I'm an attorney. I'd be happy to give you any questions you ever have. I'm licensed in Florida, a few other states, but I just want to say this to you, Evangeline. You're so inspiring to me. Like, having you have the courage to come on the show today, you're in eighth grade. Not as a speak for the strength of you personally, but I feel very inspired right now. And I'm looking forward to sharing your message with our audience. If anyone from the audience wants to reach out to you, I believe we have an email address. I'll put in the show notes if that's right.
Yeah, you can put email address, any of my social medias. If you need them, I can send you links.
Okay, well, we'll talk about, yeah, I'll make sure I'll work with you guys. Make sure we put the, you know, whatever you want out there that's reflective and, you know, protecting you as well.
Can we do like a Ukrainian song too, just in case? A cappella, sure. Maybe, or something. Mm-hmm. Would you? Sure. Since it's about Ukraine.
Yeah, let's do. You can do both.
This is one of the most popular Ukrainian songs.
to ever exist. One of them. It's a soft song. You know, it's like soft and...
That song was beautiful. Wow. What was that about? The topic for the song? I mean, I thought that was really incredible.
Well, I understand, which is usually differently that people understand that. It is.
That's beautiful.
My point of view is a story that girl tells her friends about a boy that she met, maybe. And they were like, the Nichaka Misishina, which is like, the night is so bright because of the moon. And it's like, and the last verse is from guy's point of view, that he was like, don't worry that maybe like your feet hurt because she was like walking a lot. Don't worry that maybe your feet will get wet because of the grass. I will like bring you home. I will carry you home to your house.
I love that. I deeply appreciate you sharing both songs with us today.
Folk love romantic song, kind of, right?
Oh, a love song. Love song. Got it. I love that. Anytime you can share such a gift with us, I'd like to be able to support you any way I can going forward. This has been an incredible experience for me today. I want to ask you in one last question. You said you want to go into being a lawyer. Are you going to continue performing, I would assume, as well? Because that would be a beautiful expression of your talents and abilities to be creative and also be a lawyer. I think that would balance you out pretty well.
Well, yeah, because singer is the best. It's a good career path if you get lucky enough to get into to have a contract with any good like music producer or like a company. But anything, I'm such a random person. I usually do random stuff which nobody expects from me, but I always have a backup plan. So if something goes wrong, I can always go back to the plan B And
I think it'd be awesome at both, to be honest with you. I really think it'd be awesome as a lawyer and as a performer. And I think you can do both. And after what you've just shown, what you could do in this interview today, I wouldn't put any doubt at all. I would bet on you 100%. I could see the success coming for you. So I just want to tell you, you've inspired and touched us very deeply today. Sergio, do you have anything you want to add? I want to make sure this is like, we're experimenting here. We're having interviews.
I'm going to be biased. My personal opinion that many people can be lawyers, but so few people can sing like you, Evangelina. And yeah, so if they had, you know, any power, I would say, Evangelina, you're going to touch so many lives and hearts from the stage. But I understand reality and practicality of life also dictates, you know, if you cannot make good living being a singer, then you need to become a lawyer. But I still inside of my heart hopeful that you one day going to be this big famous person and you still will be so real and so authentic as you are. You're not going to get, you know, into the clouds of super success. I really like looking forward to that. That's my wish for you.
Me too. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you coming on. We're running short on time, but we're going to have your information. I'll get that from Sergi and we'll put your information in the show notes. I want to make sure, you know, my show is an open door to you. So if you have music you're coming out with, or you want to promote it, I'm happy to showcase you, because by coming on today, it means a lot to me and I support you 100%. I want you to know that. Please feel free to reach out to me if you want to come back on and promote anything you're doing. And I encourage our audience to reach out to you and contact you about these opportunities going forward. So,
can I also, I wanted to tell the people that are watching or listening to this that just as plain as it sounds, just be yourself. But remember, the life is random. Not only you are the random thing. The life is random too. So always have at least two plans. One is the main one, and second or third or fourth or fifth as a backup plan. Just do what you want to do, but make sure that one day you don't end up in a trash can because you don't have money. Make sure that you always have somewhere to go and someone to love you.
That's all that. I can't say more than just say that it's very profound what you just shared. It's very inspiring. I just want to thank for Evangelina for coming on the show today and sharing her personal gifts and talents and her personal story. How amazing to have her on the show and have Sergi join in as well in terms of making this introduction. I'm deeply appreciative to Dr. Borisov. And I want to thank Evangelina and her family for allowing her to come on today and share this message. She's in eighth grade and she's learned more in life skills than I could say most 50-year-olds and above in general. I want to encourage our audience to reach out to her. If you liked her music, please support her. She's an aspiring artist, future lawyer. I think she'll be able to do all that. I have zero doubts as well. This is part of this new series, guys. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. I think over and over to myself, what is it like to have your cultural identity taken away from you by a foreign power? And it's terrifying. I wanted to have Evangelina come on and share her story because it really does go to the reason of why we're living the lives we're living right now and going through this world, that, you know, struggles and everything else. Pay attention to misinformation, pay attention to propaganda, support Ukraine. That's the part of this entire project, so that we can have people in this world stand together and united. Stay positive. Because when you're positive, anything's possible. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Psychic Radio Show. Don't forget to join us for another episode next time. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. You can also check us out on Facebook, and don't forget to visit the Social Psychic YouTube channel. Until next time, it's a big world out there. Keep an open mind. Embrace your paradigms and know that the universe is always yours to explore.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interview.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Electric Acid.